welcome to Wembley.
Grayson is clear. He's got Parrish with him. And it's hooked away by Edwards. Dean Pier is on for Northampton Town as a replacement for David Rennie. Hunter poised to take yet another long throw. Samson Corbett. Warburton's in there. Lee, who's won a free kick right on the edge of the penalty area. Frayne, charged down by Coates. Frayne again, and he's got it! What a marvellous goal from John Frayne.
Hello and welcome to a bonus episode of the FSA award-winning It's All Cobblers to Me. I'm Charles Collins, and as the 25th anniversary of the Cobblers win at Wembley in 1997 approaches, we're talking to some of the key people involved over the next few weeks. And to help me do that on this episode is my good friend Danny Brothers. How are you, Danny? You okay?
Hey, good. I'm good. I'm very excited, Charles.
Are you?
Very, very excited. Yes.
Is that something to do with our special guest today?
It is, for sure, but always is. I've enjoyed this series, and especially today. I'm really looking forward to it.
Good. Well, today we have got another very special guest, as you know, Danny. According to the song, Sixfield Boys, he only scored once in a while, but when he did score, he made sure it was memorable. We may well be talking about one of those goals today. Let's find out as we chat with the one and only Sean Parrish. How are you, Sean? You okay, mate?
Yes, great. Thanks for inviting me on and chatting about that sort of goal in the season, really, and obviously finishing off with a successful trip to Wembley.
Yeah, now I know you want to talk about that goal, and we will get to it, I promise. We've set enough time aside for you. But I wanted to start with your career before the Cobblers, just to set the scene. So you had a really good run for Telford United, where you're now a member of their Hall of Fame, and then went to Doncaster for a couple of seasons, which we always had tight games against Doncaster when you were there. What did you make of the Cobblers before you signed for us?
Obviously, I knew they were having sort of financial difficulties, or they were struggling at the sort of like just a couple of years before new stadium. Then I obviously heard, and obviously it was 2 years before, really, because when I left sort of Telford to go to Doncaster, I don't know if it was lucky for me, Ian Atkins actually signed me for Doncaster, and but I never got to meet him. I think I met him once when I actually sort of signed, but in the meantime, before sort of going starting pre-season, the chairman had sort of sacked him and got rid of him. So my time with Ian Atkins was very brief, but I don't know if he'll say it was a good thing or a bad thing that 2 years later he actually signed me again. So he must have seen something in me that he quite liked. So obviously when he got in contact, and obviously I'd had a couple of years at Doncaster in the league, I had a taste for obviously league football coming out of sort of non-league through Telford, because obviously I started off at Shrewsbury Town and went on loan to Telford, and obviously, I wanted to play men's football, and even in the conference back in the day, it was a good standard. It made me sort of learn and made me grow up as a sort of man, as a young boy, obviously just sort of earning my trade at the lower leagues. But obviously, when I was in first team football, in that first team environment, sitting on the bus, playing cards, having a can of beer on the way home after a game at Telford, I wanted the taste of it. And luckily enough, I got signed, obviously, for Doncaster through Ian. But it was a great 2 years learning at Doncaster. And then obviously Ian got hold of me and obviously spoke to me 2 years down the line. Would you be interested in coming to Northampton?
Was that an easy sell then in that case for Ian, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I think obviously it's always nice when somebody, a manager, does like you and does sort of want you. You feel wanted. So he must have seen something. I don't know what, but he sort of pestered me, and he can obviously drive a hard bargain as well, and said, look, come down, have a look. And obviously then the appeal of obviously the new stadium and things were happening, obviously, and I just thought, hang on a minute, this could be something, a fresh challenge really for me. And I wasn't bothered about where I'd go. It was just a matter of obviously being in league football again, and obviously having the taste of Doncaster that, okay, then this might be the next stepping stone onto another career. And obviously a contract is staying in the game for me. I never earned any big money. I think Ian didn't even offer me any big money. That was the problem. But I was happy to play for nothing, because that was my dream as a young boy, sort of growing up back in Wales, in Chirk, just outside Wrexham. All I wanted to do was play football, and I would have done that for nothing. But it was nice, obviously, to get paid for what you enjoy doing.
You mentioned the stadium there, when you, and obviously mid-90s, Sixers is actually one of the newer stadiums around. There's not as many. It was one of the first of the new builds, I guess. Is that something that separated us from other clubs? Were there other clubs interested in you, or was it mainly down to Atkins?
Yeah, there was a couple. I know the chairman wanted me at the time at Doncaster. He sort of like was forcing me down to maybe speak to Neil Warnock at Plymouth at the time. But I think that was only really to stop me going to Northampton, because I think he must have obviously fell out with Ian at obviously Doncaster at the time. So there was rumours of a couple of other clubs as well, but Mansfield, etc. But then I wanted to go to, I say, this new up and coming. Obviously, the ground obviously was a big appeal, and I just thought, no, I'm going to a manager who wants me. He signed me 2 years earlier, obviously a brief spell of about a week, and I thought, well, okay, then let's see what Northampton's got to offer.
The first goal that you score, Sean, I don't know whether you can remember. It's in October 1996.
God, I know. Was it Mansfield? I'm trying to test me now, but
it'll be one of those. I mean, you scored in 4 games out of 5.
Yeah, so, yeah.
I mean, was that a change of approach from you and Ian Atkins, or did you sense that it was just coming for you as like part of your game?
I thought I think the first few. I don't know if I was. Was I suspended or was I injured? Because I can't remember starting the season. I think I was not in the team for either a suspension carried over from Doncaster, maybe, or I'd had a hernia operation or something like that. So it took me a bit of time to get in the team, if I recall. God, but you might tell me different now. But I know, and Jason White always laughs about it, because I was. And I think at the time it was a 45,000 figure fee at a tribunal as well. So. Not the pressure was on, because that's not like 50 million in this day and age. But obviously, it was quite a bit of money for obviously a club who obviously had struggled through the early years or the previous years. So, you know what I mean? So I felt a little bit of pressure as well, and probably wasn't playing. I said getting in the team was a first sort of a challenge. And then obviously performing well, and I didn't seem to do really well. But Jason always says, he sort of took a couple of players on and squared it to me. And I think it was just a bundle ball in at Mansfield. I'm sure it was Mansfield at home, but I could be wrong. So you're going to tell me different now, aren't you?
Yeah, I've got Mansfield at home as your first game that you played in.
Right, yeah.
In August. Your first goal against Colchester in the October.
Colchester, yeah. It could have been Colchester then, yeah. So that I can remember now, Jason just saying, look, obviously the pressure was on. Sean, you're a bit stressed, you're under pressure, and I just squared it, took up a couple of players on and squared it to me. So but I can remember bundling it in now. So and I just seemed to flow from there. The confidence, obviously, the sort of pressure on my shoulders. It wasn't, I say, it's not a massive amount of money, but like I say, you just want to do well, you want to impress the fans, new club. The manager obviously is probably thinking, oh God, what have I done here, sort of thing. So I'm sure Ian then was a bit relieved as well. And we seemed to then, it just seemed to flow a little bit then. So goals, I popped up with a few goals that season, and it just seemed to snowball really for me that year.
Yeah, one of those goals was the last game of this, well, the league season before the playoffs that secured it. That was against Scunthorpe. Well, Scunthorpe, there you go. You've got one.
Yes, I can remember that one. Yeah, a little bit of a deflection. I think the keeper probably could have done a little bit better. But God, I think I can remember taking my top off and running down the line as well in front of the main stand. So
that's not like you.
Them things do stick with you. But I can't remember. God, jumped again. Tell me different as well. I got injured. I don't know if it was a fractured eye socket and cheekbone against Chester as well. Maybe winter time, maybe. I can remember going, I'm sure that was that season. So I missed a couple of games there as well. But because I didn't play against, I think, the 2 Swansea games as well, away from home and at home. I know I was probably injured. So and they'd beat us both home and away that year as well. So they were going into the game. But I know at the end of the season, we were the form team. And I can remember saying, I had an interview that we were the, yes, they'd beat us home and away in the league, but we were the form team going into them playoffs, and we sort of didn't fear anybody for a place. So, and that proved to be the case.
Is there any mini celebrations then at the end of that Scunthorpe game? You finished fourth, you've secured a playoff place, potentially doing a little bit better than people thought. Is there anything from Atkins, or as you as players, to think this is a good job done, let's celebrate, or is it straight down to business after
It was a bit of a it was sort of like maybe like 10, 11 days as well between the end of the season. So the training, you know what I mean, you wanted it straight away in a way. I know I think the two semi-finals were very close together, but there seemed to be a little bit of a break in between the sort of you want to finish that last game and then get onto the next one. So but like I say, I think all through the season just the team spirit, that's what got us through. And Ian, again, the players will say sometimes he sort of rubbed people up the wrong way, but he got the best out of players. We weren't a talented group, really. We'll say others might say, we were good at what we had to do. And Ian organised us around, obviously got us in a team shape in a certain way. And he chose them individuals, and we had a good squad as well. If people were out the team, we had, well, sometimes if we were not in, Dean Pearce, Mickey Warner, there was teams that obviously players to replace, obviously Chrissy Lee, Jason White, all over the pitch, really. There was people to come in and fill some of these obviously shoes if people were out the team. So but no, he definitely got the best out of players, and it was just the team spirit off the pitch, because we had a few social evenings as well. Yeah, it was the team spirit that definitely got us together and got us through, because at times, God, the dressing room just went, okay, it's an old cliche, the dressing room run itself, but it did. There was big characters, Samo, Razor at the back, obviously Woody. God, you know what I mean? It was formidable sometimes. And then you had the Birmingham Mafia used to come over, Clarkson, Frayn, Gale, Pierre. It was just a good place to be.
I love the fact that I know that, like, when we spoke to Ian Clarkson for the first episode of this series, like, he was a little bit more, he kind of wanted to dispel that rumour that we were just a team that got successful down to the spirit of the players and the team. And he wanted to say, yes, that was definitely a factor. But at the same time, and he mentioned you as, you know, specifically as being one of the players that did have some skill and are good footballers and deserve the credit that maybe the team for that season doesn't necessarily get all the time, especially when you're looking back sort of in hindsight.
You're probably right there, because I played at lower league football. I was a lower league footballer. But when you looked at, like I say, Ian and John, who played at Birmingham at a high level, Roy Hunter, you know what I mean? There's some good players there. Like I say, Neil Grayson, I'm probably still playing now, Neil is. I don't know, you know what I mean? So
still scoring.
It was just a fantastic group. Exactly, yeah, definitely. But like I say, and we probably... It wasn't that, and Ian's probably definitely right to say that, no, we were some good players, and on our day, we could mix it. Don't get me wrong, you had big John Gale, and you know what I mean, and obviously Razor, Samo, people like that, and we could mix it. We could, obviously, not saying people wanted to fight. We weren't fighters, but we could stand up ourselves, and that was Ian. That come from Ian as well, because he was, you know what I mean, he used to get us going and get us G'd up where you've got, because League Two football isn't all about playing pretty football. But when we did have to play, we could put on some good performances, and we did at times. We had some good games, and we could score some good goals that year as well. So now we could play, we could do a bit of both, definitely.
I wanted to ask you, Sean, as well about Ian Atkins. We've heard a lot of stories about what he did. Is there anything, any favourites of yours that he did in terms of winding up the away support or the away team that he did? Because we've heard a lot of things.
The most one that sticks out for me was Fulham away. I think, again, I've got the little on my phone actually with the fixtures. But I think we played Fulham. Was it the last or towards the end of the season? Maybe that's looking. And I think they'd got promoted. I think they'd won.
Yeah. Or whatever. Yeah. So, is that when we won 1-0? I think so.
Yeah, 1-0. Yeah, that was, yeah. Jason White, wasn't it? I think.
Yeah.
And he said, right, we'll go. This is what we'll do, because obviously the corner of Craven Cottage. They come out and they run to the home end of the far end. He said, right, what we're going to do, line up on the halfway line. We're going to give them a bit of a sort of like a guard up on the sort of thing. Well, as they come in running towards us, we're going to run into their end and warm up in their end. And it was like, you what? So we're like, okay, so we're all there. So we have to, obviously, because that's what the manager wants. So we're on there, get out a little bit early, clap there, and they're running towards us. Like, it's seen like a Zulu sort of thing. They're all bloody Braveheart, they're running at us, and then we turn around and run into their half and warm up, and it's like then they sort of like stop and think, oh, what's going on here? And it was surreal, really. But them are the things that he tried to get them little, just mind games, really, mind games with them. I know the one that sort of backfired. He'd got sort of a sort of us to, I don't think it was me, but there was some pictures of us looking mean. Or so we were all looking mean, and he got them in a frame. So it was headshots of the players in the away dressing room. Also, they painted the away dressing room black as well, because when they turn up, it's all cold and grey and black, so with black walls, just to get into the minds of the opposition. But I think it was Lincoln who actually thought, right, they've got some of the pictures off the walls and they've sort of ripped them in half, so they've got half of John Gale's head with maybe John Frayne's mouth on and some. Oh, and it was like, oh my God. So little things like that, which you'd try and do and would work. Would it would work? I don't know, but... yeah, and then but then the sort of downside of it is if you had a bit of a away defeat, we'd be obviously having a drink and on the back of the bus in a bit. And then God rest his soul, Dennis Casey, who's no longer with us, he'd sort of tell Dennis they'd sit at the front and we'd pull up just outside Six Fields, and Dennis would come literally and say, "Sorry, lads, 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, you're training Sunday." It was like, the next thing, the bus has stopped. Ian Atkins has run off the bus into his car, and the car's shot off past TGI. He's on his way back to Birmingham. We're like, what? Tomorrow? And like, that's, you know what I mean? So,
so Dennis was the messenger.
Yeah, exactly. Dennis has come up there. Fair play to him, lads. Sorry, Gaffer just said you're in tomorrow. And like, before you know it, what? Where is he? The next thing is that you can see his car pulling off past TGI. He's like into the wind, so into the sunset. But no, it's. But he was a character, he was. And like I say, we just looked for them little bits of mind games that could change, just a little bit of advantage, really. You know what I mean? And he would do some things. But I liked him. I liked just the way he was. And he knew his job. Everybody knew his job, knew what he wanted, knew what he expected from him. And we all did that to a man, really. So it's good.
Have you taken any of his techniques into your coaching career at all?
No, not really. But I keep saying the game's not changed in a way. It's simple, you know what I mean? And I know when we look back in the day, we did play three at the back. You know what I mean? Ian did. He's probably the final at Wembley. Well, you don't think, but he had David Rennie, Sam Owen Razor, then he had John Frayne and Clarkson. So we were playing three at the back, and that was in 25 years ago. So when people say, oh yeah, it's three at the back, no, Ian, I'm not saying that Ian was way before his time, don't get me wrong, but he wasn't a mug. He knew the game, you know what I mean? And he knew what he wanted out of his players. He knew what the opposition would give you. So he'd do his homework. He had good men around, good scouts, you know what I mean? Ken Wilson, Ken Bordhurst. So he was no mug as such. He knew his stuff. So, but yeah, he's, again, you'd learn. I think you take bits off every coach you've come under, you know what I mean, at times. And I say it was just his personality and his little, I don't know, his ways, his mannerisms sometimes. I think we'd probably sort of laugh behind his back sometimes of his what he'd do on the touchline manner and things like that. But I liked him. I think we all had respect for him at times. Yeah, sometimes the manager you're shaking your head or you're huffing and puffing, but at the end of the day, he's doing it for a reason, to get a reaction off you or something like that. And he did that, you know what I mean? And he'd say something to somebody and he'd say something to somebody else. And before you know it, he knew what he was doing. So he was clever, fair play.
Danny, I'll let you go for this because I know you're exciting.
I think we've waited long enough. So we're up against Cardiff in the playoffs, away leg first at Ninian Park. Tough place to go. Mark Cooper gets sent off against Cardiff for the second time that season, I think it was. So he's then missed, I think he missed both the semi and the final, didn't he, after that? So usually you'd go into that situation, I think, you'd think, right, settle back, take the draw, let's get home. You step forward and have different ideas. So here we go. Tell us about the goal.
God, I still can't believe I did it in a way, because I'll say at the time, I think a Cardiff player's had a shot and one of our lads had blocked it, and it's just come to me, and the proper story, the real story is I'm thinking, well, there's nothing much on, we're down to 10 men this time. And then I sort of looked, I think Gary was out on the left wing, and I sort of looked to go and play him. The lad in front of me sort of like blocks the pass, so I sort of dragging in front of him, didn't have much pace at the time, but I seemed to get away from a couple of players. And then I'm thinking, well, I can't do much more. There's nothing else in front of me. I'm just going to hit it. And then obviously, I've hit it well. The keeper's off his line, blah, blah, blah. And it's gone in. And obviously, I just can't to this day how I did it and why I did it and how I did it is a mystery. But in a way, the story goes, obviously, I'm not going to give it to Big John Gale because he's going to miscontrol it. He's going to come back to us. I've got Ian Atkins on the sideline just going, put it in the corner, boot it in the corner, Parrish, just kick it in the corner, wasting time. But then, you know, it was surreal, really, at the time, because I'll say down to 10 men, and we were under the cosh the day, going back now to the start, the sun was out, then it was raining, the sun come out again, and like I say, then we lose a man, we're down to 10 men, and we rode our luck at times, but we defended well. I said, God, again, Razor, Samo headed things, blocked things, Woody come and, well, he didn't come and punch things, he never come and punch or caught anything, so he just relied on Razor and Samo to head things away, but we stuck at it, and like I say, and to get that goal, really, just for being a Welshman and a North Walian as well from Wrexham, that was the icing on the cake, really. But to have a 1-0 lead going into the home leg then at Six Fields, it wasn't game over, because again they come out and obviously they surprised as well on the, I think it was the Wednesday after or whatever, it was a nice sunny evening then at Six Fields. But to have a 1-0 lead to go into it down to 10 men was a bonus. You'd have took 0-0 definitely at the time. I can't remember when did Mark actually get sent off. Was it?
It was about a few minutes before. It was about 5-6 minutes before, I think. Yeah.
Oh, was it, right? So yeah, we were hanging on and we were under the cosh. But yeah, it's just, I can picture it now, and then going in, and then that was it. It was just running over to the away fans and sliding on my belly and just out of breath, really, because I was just knackered. It was hanging on. And it was, as I say, but then you celebrate, the sun comes out, and I know the fans. Well, hopefully everybody got out alive, I think. At the end of the day, maybe minus a few car windows or bus windows. But it was definitely a day to remember. And I say that it just set up the second leg really nice.
My main takeaway from that, what you just described, the goal again, is John Gale's on the left wing. What's he doing there?
Exactly. I haven't got a clue. It was like, because we just said, why don't we go probably again? 4-4-1 or whatever, just down to about 10 men, we'll leave Gale up there and we'll hit a few balls up to him and let him just battle for things, really. But it was just like, I've looked up and I'm thinking, God, there's nothing on, because nobody was there, really. So I've had to just, and I'm not going to say it was like a Pelé moment on the escape the victory and I do this and this and this and this and go. It wasn't like that at all, but I'd like to think it was. But no, it was just literally just get up the pitch and take the ball for as far as away and probably, as in, clear the goal and put in the away fans and let the away fans hold the ball for a few minutes. But when it nestled in the corner, it was a great feeling, and that's it, one I'll never forget.
Yeah. Best goal of your career, do you think?
Yeah, it's got to be. I think the goal against Tottenham, because it was the year after, or the I enjoyed that one against Tottenham in the Carling Cup. And then I did score a playoff winning goal actually for Telford in 2004, 2005. But that was on Unibond Division 1 against Kendal Town. It hasn't got the same appeal, but I'm just gutted that the shot at Wembley got cleared off the line. Bloody near Larry Grayson put me a bit wide and I scuffed the shot actually. But I think it was Christian Edwards cleared off the line at Wembley. But like I say, I'll let Franny take all the plaudits for that one. So
share the wealth, sure. Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah. Definitely, yeah.
Do you ever... I mean, Danny's written some questions here, and one of them is, do you ever recreate them for any of the younger members of your family? What I'd love to know is, do you ever get out on the training pitch with the under-23s at Wolves and just go, yeah, lads, I've got something to show you?
No, I wish I could. I've been waiting for the total hip replacement, so I can't do it at the minute. But I did a few years ago. We did go to the new stadium at Cardiff, and we had a sort of end of season or friendly or whatever with the, I think it was on the under-16s at the time, and I did have to say, look, come here. And when everybody'd gone in the dressing room, I stayed out. And sort of like, it was a bit of like Phoenix from the Flames moment. So, but it wasn't executed in style by all means. It wasn't identical, but I had a go. But yeah, my first few years when you sort of like, sort of said, come and have a look at this. Come, have you seen this on YouTube? And I show them it. So, but I think they're tired of seeing it now. So I don't show them anymore. So, but yeah, I wish I could. I could wish I could turn back the clock and definitely relive it again. Definitely.
I think we all do, to be honest with you. It would be absolutely cracking if we could have that every week.
Definitely.
So you've got 10 days in between the semi-final, second leg and the final.
Yep.
What are those celebrations like? How long do they last before you actually get back down to business?
Yeah, no, I'd like to say a couple of, I think it was a couple of days just to, again, that night, probably the next day recovering, and maybe, I don't know if we went for a drink or a bit of a meal together as well. So, but then it was literally back down to work, really, then. Most of the time was training on the pitch anyway. Obviously, I know the song and the band, and they sort of come onto the, obviously the side of the pitch, but a lot of the training was done on the pitch because obviously the pitch was obviously not needed anymore. So that's where we did a lot of the training at the end of the season, and it just built up. Obviously, it's a nice pitch. It was getting obviously the end of the season, so the quality of the pitch wasn't great, but it was just nice to be there in one place and the build up. But we could take our time and, like I say, and build up to how we're going to beat Swansea. But obviously, again, going into that, was we were the form team. Like I kept saying, they'd beat us home and away, but I always thought going into it, we were the form team.
Did you think that you maybe needed to have that couple of days of, you know, celebrations and to get it out of your system almost, so that you could then go back to training fresh to go for the final?
Definitely, yeah, definitely. You had to refocus. You had to celebrate because you couldn't bottle it all up. You would be bursting. So, I said we had a couple of good drinks and. But then it was back down to business, because then you could refocus and say, come on then, we still haven't achieved anything, because you obviously they keep saying, and my only time at Wembley, but it's a horrible place to lose, sort of thing. And we didn't want that. And to go there as a young boy who'd watched probably every cup final since about 1980, I think, and whatever, and I'd watch it for 5 minutes, and then I'd be in the back garden pretending I was Kenny Dalglish and Ian Rush and being one of the players who were actually playing on the final, sort of thing. So that was my dream, and like I say, to enjoy the moment, really, to have that, enjoy that semi-final few days, get it, have a good blowout, but then sort of refocus. And but you were still inside every day, every night I was going to sleep dreaming I was going to score the winner or be involved in something, because that was my dream. That was for me to say I've played at Wembley, and to be a footballer, my thing, but to play at Wembley as well, to say I've actually graced the hallowed turf and experienced that was a dream come true.
So, talking of cup finals, around the time it seemed to be quite a big thing to have a song out. I think Chelsea had a pretty good one for that 97 final. What did the players make of Six Field Boys when you first heard it? Secondly, when they came down to the ground to film all the stuff with you guys on the drums and the...
Yeah, drums, I can remember Sam were doing it, Lee Culkin, I think me, Roy and Mickey Warner had a guitar with some shades on or some glasses. Exactly. It's coming back to me now, God. But no, it was good. It was just as catchy. It was a local band. Warehouse
was the band.
So it was good. It was like the done thing, wasn't it? And the Wembley suit of getting them off Nationwide. I know we had some suits and off Marks and Spencer's and all that. We had some shoes from the church's shoes, I think we had as well. So we done it right, and the club did it. You know what I mean? It was a big thing, and to be the 100th year as well. Obviously, the first ever Wembley appearance. It couldn't have felt any better, really. If you'd have written the script, you couldn't have written it any better. So. But yeah, the whole build up and then the band, and I said, just it was a little catchy little number, you know what I mean? I bought the little cassette, I don't know where it is, but
yeah,
I haven't got a cassette player anymore. But it was a catchy, and I said the lads bought into it, but the atmosphere around it, and that was down to, again, to Ian and the staff. It was a relaxed atmosphere. He wanted to be relaxed. We went down there the night before, and everything just seemed to, he didn't want to be pressure, wasn't he? You were there to enjoy it, but there to enjoy it, obviously, when you won. And obviously, ultimately, we did that.
Yeah, not half as well, because, I mean, it's probably the most memorable day in the club's history. What's it like for you, knowing that you're a big part of what is such a big part of an entire football club's history?
It's massive, it is. It's just, again, folklore, history, whatever it is. John Frayne scored the winning goal, you know what I mean? And again, everybody will be John Frayne Day and things like that in years to come. And no doubt he should get a bit. It was a team effort. Yes, I played a little bit part of it. the season, but to have how many 46 games or whatever it was over the season, and then to get to the playoffs, yes, it'd be great to go up and to be as champions. But the next best thing is going up as a Wembley winner, and we did that. But to have that, like I say, to if you can write a script any better, the 100 years of Northampton, the last minute, the last kick of the game, it was written in the stars for me. And like I say, to be a part of that, to play a small part, because everybody did. They've all chipped in. The lads who played 5 games, the lads who played 10, 15, 20 games, and 40 games. We all played our part in it. But yeah, to have that little piece of history that obviously I scored that goal in the semi final to potentially get us there, but the team got us there, and then obviously John Frayne did what he did, or the referee helped John Frayne probably move the ball, and you know what I mean, the rest is history. So it's fantastic.
Do you remember what Ian said to you just before you went out? Like his last words before, was it like a rousing speech or was it simple?
No, I can remember I don't know if this is well known, but he would say get him wound up in the tunnel. You know what I mean? Obviously, you'd have Big John Gale, you'd have Razor Samo. So obviously, John Gale and Carl Heggs had a bit of a set to in the tunnel. So it's obviously probably well known, Ian. And obviously then, so you know what I mean? God, and I don't want to fight anybody in the tunnel. You know what I mean? But if Gailey wanted to, I'll be behind Gailey. You know what I mean? So yeah, they've had a bit of a set to, and Eggsy could look after himself. So Eggsy thought, I am not standing for this, which you wouldn't, because Atkins is, come on, Gailey, get into him in the tunnel. So Eggsy's obviously stepped up to him and whatever, and obviously, and then obviously in the summer when we come back for pre-season, Galex comes to sign. Somebody comes in the dressing room, Gailey, you know, Eggsy from Swansea, he's in the office down the bottom there, which was the reception and the club shop. So John Gale, obviously, as he does, goes into the club shop, and then Eggsy comes up, and they have a set to in the club. I think Janet's monitor, the screen gets broken on the reception. His kit going flying. He's got a ripped shirt. He's a bit of a scratch, a bit of a cut eye, whatever. And he goes up to talk to Ian Atkins in a really shirt that's half ripped with a bit of a cut. And you're thinking, and then they shake hands and they're best of buddies after. So you couldn't, that's like never heard of in a way, but that's the type of things that not Ian wanted us to do, but he wanted us to get under the skin, have them little advantages, see if you can just get that little 1% advantage. And it probably didn't work, it probably didn't, because you know what I mean, we scored in the last minute, so they didn't crumble because they had some big characters in their team as well, Swansea. So yeah, Moby was a Liverpool legend, so hero for me, you know what I mean, and playing against him at Wembley, and God, I've seen him slide in, rush in for 2 goals against Everton and things like that. So it's like, God, this is unreal, really, for me. But so I can't really remember what he actually said. It was just probably just stick together, go and enjoy it. But that sort of walk and the bus, we went around Wembley a little bit longer. Where we were literally stopped at the Wembley Hilton. We could have walked to the ground, I think. But we were in Watford, actually. But we took the bus, a bit of a tour, so we could obviously take the atmosphere in. And then you drive into the tunnel back in the day when Wembley, the bus is there. You literally get off the bus into the dressing rooms, and then you obviously you go up for the warm up, and then you come back in, and then obviously the fireworks or the ticker tape goes off, and you're walking out onto Wembley to play in probably the biggest game. What is the biggest game of my career?
I love that. I absolutely love it, and I love the fact that, obviously, you get to play against Jan Molby, who's quite clearly a hero and an inspiration to you. What was that like, getting to play with such a legend in your eyes?
Yeah, no, it was unbelievable. It's kind of surreal when you think, God, he was the player manager at the time, and then he signed me for Kidderminster a few years later as well. So then he released me as well. So. You know what I mean? But you couldn't have everything. But no, it was just a dream. I say I wouldn't care who I was playing for, against. Great, it was Northampton. Great, it was Swansea and Jan played. But that was my dream. That was if I'd done anything in my life, that's my biggest achievement. And I say to win, and how we did it at the end with the last kick of the game, it was unbelievable. My family there, with friends in the stand, and. Yeah, a day that will never, ever, ever leave me, and I don't want it to. So, yeah, great memories.
Sean, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you and reminiscing about that marvellous year and the other 3 years that you spent at Sixfields as well. Thank you so much for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure.
No, again, glad that you invited me to come on and share some memories. And they were good times. I say when you talk about them, I can feel that buzz. You can hear it. Like you say, you can sometimes feel it. You can picture them moments, and you can smell the dressing room even, and just them moments of a team spirit and a team togetherness that got success by obviously being organised, being disciplined. Again, working hard on and off the pitch, being organised with a manager who sometimes we disliked, but deep down we all liked him. But he would get the best out of us in uncertain ways in his manner, and it was great achievement for the team and for the town. And it was a town close to my heart, and the club that obviously I played there for 4 years, and it'd be nice to get back if I can make it. I'm sure I'll make it. If I can't, then it could be the 50-year reunion, hopefully. So, but no, thank you for inviting me on, and it's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Sean. We'll be back with more from the Class of 97 in the coming weeks. And don't forget to book your place at the anniversary event on Friday the 20th of May at Sixfields. You can book a place for both our forum and the hospitality beforehand with some of the club legends involved from just the Fiver by getting in touch with the club or visiting the club website. We'll see you again soon.